Do you wish to reserve some rebuttal time?
I'm sure 5 minutes.
Sure. Thank you.
May I please the court? My name is Dwayne Barron, and I'm a public defender in the state of Virginia, and I represent Curtis Hewitt on this case that comes out of the Waynesboro Circuit Court. And Mr. Hewitt was convicted of being in possession of a firearm after being a convicted felon, actually being convicted of being adjudicated a youthful offender in Alabama. So it's
we're
some
much
similarities to the last case. Although I wasn't ambitious enough to raise any constitutional objections to the statutory provision, then so I feel.
Well, since you mentioned that, let me ask you, Mr. Barron, can you point me, maybe I missed it, but can you point me to the area in the record whereby that the objection is preserved at any point in time?
Well, that's a very good question. Unlike other counsel who have come up here and been able to rely on the fact that they didn't try the case, this is my case. It was set for a plea, if you read the whole transcript, it was set for a plea. After the plea, the defendant basically tells the judge he's not going to plead guilty. So we have a trial right then. The position I held today, I didn't come to until I was writing my petition for appeal. The best, and I would submit that it did raise the issue for the judge, the best I did was in my closing argument on page 45 of the transcript. I said that Alabama has a youthful offender statute similar to the statute in New York. Virginia doesn't have this statute. And I read the language from Alabama Code Section 1519-7, where I said, no determination made under provisions in this chapter shall disqualify any youth for public office or for public employment, etc. And what I didn't read, what I left out of even reading it to the judge, was that Alabama Code 1519-7 also says it shall not be deemed a conviction of a crime. Youthful offender statute, apparently, I'm not an expert on the history of it, but apparently it began in New York. A number of states adopted youthful offender statutes. They're not the same as juvenile convictions. They apply to in Alabama 18 to 21. So they're not juvenile conviction or juvenile adjudications. So it's not the same as an analysis as in the last case. It's not the same as what the Virginia Code clearly covers, and that is if someone is convicted of felony or adjudicated delinquent of what would be a felony at the time they're over 14 at the time of the offense.
Well, I appreciate your straightforward answer in reference to that. But you would agree that your client, or perhaps you wouldn't, let's just, the record shows that your client was convicted of, or the underlying crime of which he was punished for was manslaughter.
Yes.
And even though if we find that there's waiver, we don't need to get to that, but even if we follow your argument and look at the comparison, there certainly, that would be a felony. That certainly would be a felony in Virginia.
The offense of which he was convicted under the youthful offender provisions of the Alabama Code would be a felony, and he was over 14. So it's analogous in certain kinds of ways. But what's different is that the Alabama Code specifically treats this as not criminal in nature, and the Virginia Code doesn't enumerate that as a particular reason. It simply says if you're convicted of a felony, which he wasn't, he was convicted of a felony under youthful offender, which is not a criminal proceeding, or adjudicated delinquent as a juvenile. So this is offense.
But isn't the part of 308.2 that's critical to your case is it substantially an offense that is substantially similar to a Virginia offense? The offense is manslaughter under 13A.63 of the Alabama Code, and I am unaware of any. Having reviewed that looks pretty substantially similar to manslaughter in Virginia. And so what you're talking about is not dissimilarity in the offenses, you're talking about dissimilarity in the way the states treat the offenses once they've been determined and committed. And it seems to me you need to have a difference in the offenses.
Well, that's true, except for he wasn't convicted, he's not a convicted felon. He was never convicted of felony as an adult. So he's not a juvenile. So it's not a juvenile determination. So the juvenile analysis is not the appropriate analysis.
Well, but counsel, he received 3 years, which would have been the maximum punishment in reference to that manslaughter charge, did he not?
Yes, I believe that's 3 years you're committed to. This is not in the record. I believe that he was on probation most of the time. You can see that in the case action summary. At one point, he tests positive for marijuana and is committed. So
basically, Alabama has a structure with juvenile offenses.
Right.
Just like Virginia juvenile offenses.
I assume.
I
believe so.
They have kind of this, we'll call it AAA, half adult, half child juvenile offender statute, and then they have adults.
And then they have adults.
Absolutely. So your argument essentially is he would be worse off if Alabama had adjudicated him a juvenile delinquent than a youthful offender, because there would be an analog in Virginia, and therefore the statute would apply to
him. That is exactly my argument, and the argument took me a long time to get to, so I'm okay if you don't understand it yet. Until I started writing the brief, I believed, in the time of the trial, I believed that he was probably guilty because he had this this youthful offender thing, which looked an awful lot like a juvenile conviction. It looked like a sort of extension of juvenile court. But what the case law makes clear in Alabama is that it's not criminal.
Neither is a juvenile or juvenile.
That's true. Right. It doesn't. And the case law specifically enumerates that it doesn't affect his rights. And the Virginia Code, which was in this past discussion, was amended to cover juvenile adjudications, doesn't cover situations where somebody is convicted in another state of a youthful offender provision. So that an uncriminal proceeding that's not a juvenile proceeding in another state isn't covered by the Virginia Code. And so that's why the ends of justice applies. And that's because it's not a crime.
Well, it is unusual for somebody to make an argument that would, and I think you would concede it's absurd. The absurdity of it, that he'd be worse off getting punished less harshly in Alabama as a juvenile, that's usually not the type of ends of justice argument we hear. It's usually flipped around that it not invoking the ends of justice leads to the absurdity, not that it creates it.
I think it's just a quirk of the youthful offender provisions that are in a number of states, but not in Virginia. I mean, so he was over 18 at the time of the offense. He was an adult at the time of the Alabama. It's not in the record. It might be in the record. I believe it was a hunting accident in Alabama. On his version, it was an accident. He was at least negligent. I think that's a quirk of it. But so what Alabama's case law, and I've cited it in the brief, but it's very clear these aren't criminal proceedings. These are designed to protect juveniles, to protect young adults. And the easy analogy is to a juvenile conviction. But when you read the Alabama statutes, and read the North Carolina case of State versus Beal, where they actually reversed a murder conviction, capital murder conviction, because they relied on this prior felony youthful offender adjudication in Alabama. All those things, I think, go to that there wasn't a crime committed because he doesn't fall under the prohibitions of the Virginia Code.
Ultimately, I understand your argument, but if there was no objection made and the Alabama transcript or certification came, conviction or whatever you want to call it, became part of the record, there was no objection at the time, then ultimately, we don't even get to your argument if there's a waiver issue.
No, because I wouldn't have. I mean, an attorney, even a competent attorney, wouldn't have objected to the introduction of the Alabama conviction itself. Even in Alabama, they're admissible, and the court can consider them. But they would. That's not proof of that element. It's not proof of the prior conviction.
You would have had to object that the evidence was still insufficient.
Right.
Then you did.
In closing, clearly, one should have, and a competent attorney would have made a better closing argument than I did. But the ends of justice applies when a crime wasn't committed. And if he wasn't subject to the prohibitions of 18.2, 308.2, then a crime wasn't committed and the ends of justice applies, even despite relatively poor lawyering by his trial attorney, whoever that might have been. So I'll save a few minutes.
I think you're being too tough on his
I'll
trial.
I'll save a few minutes for him.
We've all been there. Don't be so hard on yourself.
That's okay. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Again, my name is Elizabeth Karen, and I represent the Commonwealth on this appeal. As the court has noted, this issue was not squarely presented to the trial court, and the Commonwealth's position is that it's waived under 5A18. Further, this is not a case where it would be appropriate for the court to apply the ends of justice because the record doesn't affirmatively show that the defendant was convicted of a crime. Well, I guess in this case that he was convicted, he was adjudicated guilty of a crime that would be a felony if he was an adult. We can call it a youthful offender provision, or you can call it a juvenile, the juvenile system that we have in this state. But adjudication is the language used in Alabama, and the juvenile youthful offender statutes talk about adjudication as a youthful offender who's adjudicated guilty or adjudicated delinquent of an act that would otherwise be a felony. Manslaughter is a felony in Alabama. So even if the issue were properly before the court, this youthful offender conviction falls under the provisions of 18.2, 308.2. I think counsel's point is well taken that it's not a felony conviction, but it doesn't need to be because we have the other half of that code section there that speaks of juvenile adjudications. And counsel didn't touch on the substantial similarity issue, but we also argue on brief that there's no requirement that there is substantial similarity in these cases. This court noted in Carter that the purpose of this statute was to protect the public, and for that reason, any felony under the laws of any state or the district would be appropriate to use. And in this case, manslaughter is a felony in Alabama, but it's a felony here, and it was an appropriate conviction in this case. Does anyone have any questions?
Any questions? Thank you.
I just have a few brief comments.
Your Honors, I think that having personally experienced it, the hard place to figure out is how this is different than the juvenile conviction. So, Commonwealth cites Carter. In the previous discussion, there was discussion of the Massachusetts case of Chardon, I believe, 898 Northeast 2nd, 392, which I didn't cite. I guess I don't think Commonwealth cited either. So I think the key is this is not a juvenile conviction, it's not a juvenile adjudication, and it's not a felony conviction. So it's in the middle somewhere. And it's the most analogous, although not exactly analogous, it's the most analogous to a case where a circuit court judge takes an adult case under advisement. And then either so what Judge Wood used to do, he would find them guilty and defer sentencing. And then at the end of the time, he would vacate the guilty finding and dismiss the charge. I don't know if that's approved practice by the legislature anymore, but that's the most analogous of this, because this is a sealed, in Alabama, it's sealed, that you can get it by court order, and it doesn't go on some record, it doesn't show up on an NCIC report, and it's considered at subsequent hearings. So just like if you'd had the adjudication in Augusta County Circuit Court and Judge Wood knew he dismissed your case 5 years ago, he would remember that. I mean, it would come up, it would be considered.
How did Virginia become aware of it if it's not listed anywhere and it's sealed? And
the prosecutor knew his mother. The prosecutor represented him as a juvenile earlier. And he knew about it. There's a backstory that was a little bit frustrating to me, but that's how it happened. And the substantial similarity, as Judge Russell pointed out, isn't with the statute itself, because manslaughter is substantially similar. It's just that there's no comparative procedure for youthful offender in Virginia, and that's what I think is most analogous to my example of what Judge Wood used to do in Augusta County Circuit Court. And with respect to ends of justice, I think that the ends of justice applies. The case law that I cite, the leading case is Raines. That's the leading case in Alabama case. I should clearly know the leading case in brief is, that I've forgotten. At any rate, that case that outlined the three other examples of what ends of justice is, and this is the Redmond case, really the key is whether a crime was, one of the ways to do it is if a crime wasn't committed. If he wasn't under that statute, then a crime wasn't committed. And even though it has the sort of odd effect of having been better that this happened when he was 18, and had a youthful offender, then it happened when he was 17, and he got a juvenile conviction, it is in fact the law that a felony conviction bars you from carrying a firearm, and a juvenile adjudication of a felony bars you from carrying a firearm, but not a youthful offender. So I should get this.
Thank you. We'll come down and greet counsel.